We're created in the image of God. That's what it says in Genesis. We're created in his image. So he made us to be social. He's social. The Godhead's difficult. I was thinking about that the other evening. We have a Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And yet, it's one God. Now, the way to help me to get my mind around that is I grew up at a time when the old tread sewing machines were in use. And they had an oil they'd use on those machines called 3-in-1. And nobody remember that. I still have an old can. I think it even might have some oil in it yet, but it was 3-in-1. That means there were three types of ingredients or something in it that made it oil. There were three things in the ingredient, but it was oil. We have three manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but one God. So 3-in-1, 1-in-3, and 1-in-middle stands for me. How do you like that? It's hard to get our mind around that. We don't serve plural gods, we serve one God who wanted to manifest himself to us in these three ways. It's interesting. He wanted us to really understand him, to grasp him. Someday we'll be able to be very close to him. Wasn't that amazing? Wow. We were made for fellowship with the Lord and others. Not just the Lord, but others. And so when that need isn't met, we experience loneliness. Loneliness is brought about by, and here's a list of things that can cause loneliness. You might feel a disconnect. It could have been caused by rejection. Feeling ostracized. Boy, there is a word, ostracized from a group. You feel alienated. You feel like you don't belong, you don't fit. Being separated, this is one that gets most of us, being separated from loved ones. Or you can be lonely if you're far from home. You can have that kind of feeling if you're far from home. Some of you didn't get out of Snyder County. But you can feel lonely if you're far from home. Sometimes you feel isolated. There's another word that is a good word with loneliness is isolation. Isolation. So what's the difference between loneliness and solitude? We need to make a distinguish between these two. Loneliness is something that's unwanted that happens to us. Solitude is a choice to be alone. And sometimes we like to be alone. We want to be alone. Loneliness drains us. It makes us feel empty. And it can be painful because we were created to be in fellowship, to not be alone. When Adam seen the animals that they had pairs, and I believe this is what brought it about for Genesis, when Adam saw that all the animals had pairs, there was male and female. Adam realized he was alone. God seen it. He sensed it. And he said, I will make you a helpmate, Adam. All these other animals, there's male and female, and I'm gonna give you a helpmate so you won't be alone. This is what brought it about. When he's seen all these animals that had pairs, there were pairs, and there was none for him. So he was feeling alone. And God said, it's not good for you to be alone. I will make you a helpmate. You know, solitude was essential for Jesus. It's why he withdrew from the people, from the multitudes. He'd do this early in the morning or late at night. He got alone with his Father for refreshing, to be restored. He kept giving out. Each day, the multitudes came. Each day, they brought the sick, and he healed them. He kept giving out and giving out, but it was time to receive. And his time of reception was when he was alone with the Father, and he was communing with the Father. And so it was a time of refreshment for him to refresh from the busy things of what was going on during the day. Our time with the Lord and his word and prayer can be very precious, very productive, and very fruitful for us. You know that loneliness permeates our society. It's prevalent. We're not immune to it as Christians. We're not immune to it. Sometimes transition can bring the prospect of loneliness. Transition. Who moved the most? How many times did you move? Anyone want to volunteer? Can you beat this many? 15 times. You had a good chance to get rid of a lot of junk, didn't you? See, each time you move, it gives you a chance to get rid of some stuff. So we had 10 times. We don't have a whole lot of stuff, but I still hoarded some. Who likes to move? Nobody really likes to move, but we moved 10 times. 15 times, wow. Well, transition can sometimes bring loneliness. You're moving to a new spot. You got to make some new friends. I just saw a couple that knows all about that. Good to see you, by the way. So, you know, you had to start over, make friends. You got one that's just a phone call away, but you had to make some friends. Sometimes transition can bring loneliness. Positions like ministry, like pastors and missionaries, I can identify with that because of our position and responsibilities. You'll find that people like pastors, evangelists, who always are dealing or always around a lot of people, when they want to get alone, they want to get alone. They don't go on any vacations in the big city because they want to get away from the people, because they deal with people all the time. Does that make sense to you? That their vacation would be one that would be somewhat isolated. Because someone that's dealing with people constantly needs to have a little break from that. Because you're always dealing with people's problems. You think you got problems. Take the whole church's problems, and try to bear those. Everybody's got problems. They all have situations that we need to be constantly praying for. Things going on in people's lives. Loneliness. It'll either drive us to destructive habits or it will drive us to God. If we don't turn to the Lord, we might try to deaden these feelings with drugs or alcohol, or even find temporary relief in sexual affairs. Rash decisions or excessive work. Sometimes people bury themselves in work. These are things, sometimes how people deal with loneliness. And then there's even some that try to escape loneliness with suicide, taking their own life. God gives life, and God has the prerogative to take it. We don't. And these that do try suicide only intensify the problem. Turning to sin won't solve your loneliness. It only increases your separateness and alienates you from God. So I'm going to give you four things that will help you through this time of isolation. First thing you need to do is confess that you're lonely. I tell people when they say about praying, it's real easy to pray. You just pray how you feel. How are you feeling today? I'm tired. Well, tell the world I'm tired. I'm just tired. Sometimes people are just sick and tired of being sick. Huh? Tell the Lord how you feel. It's not a sin. Loneliness is not a sin. I want now to consider a couple in the Bible who loved the Lord, but they experienced loneliness. I'm going to give you three of them. David, in Psalms 25, 16 and 17, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. And then Jesus himself, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Matthew 26, 40. And then as he hung on the cross, Matthew 27, 46, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt forsaken. God the Father had to turn his head because Jesus on that cross bared the sins of the world and the Father could not look upon him. That's why Jesus felt and said what he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Secondly, and if you haven't done so already, you need to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe there'll be some of you that'll be watching this by way of internet. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you need to do that. Get that taken care of. Make a reservation. It's real easy. ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that what Jesus came to do, he died for you. That's why he came to earth. He came to die for you. And then C, confess your sins. Confess your sins to him. ABC. It's real simple. Take care of that today. I hope that you can do that. When God created us, he created us to be in a relationship with him. When Adam and Eve sinned, they had a beautiful and perfect reunion before that happened. But that union was broken. And we too, as descendants, have been broken through this. And so we've been separated from God. And that's why Jesus Christ came to die for you and for me. And the only way for the God to be reconciled with us is for his son. He came in human flesh. He bared the punishment of our sins. He died in our place. And if you're willing to acknowledge and confess your sins and trust in his death and his resurrection and receive him as your Savior and Lord, you will be reconciled with the Father and become a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. If you don't have this relationship, you'll never have the fellowship that the Father created you to have. Thirdly, this is a good one, and I saw it in your song today. I thought you looked at my sermon message today. Develop godly friendships. Develop godly friendships. Did you have a mother that ever told you pick the right kind of friends? I did. Boy, did I hear that once in a couple of times, huh? Pick the right kind of friends. Boy, did I hear that. Why is that? Because you'll become like them. You need to get the right ones. You see, and I see this on Facebook. Some people just try to see how many friends they can acquire. Did you notice that? They just I don't know. They have thousands and thousands. I'd rather have just one friend. That would really be a true friend. People have acquaintances. They're just acquaintances. But you know when you have a real friend, you really have something to be treasured. A real friend is very important. very special. You must be discerning in your choice of your companions, because the wrong ones will lead you into sinful choices, and then you'll find a deeper sense of loneliness. But you see, godly friends will encourage you to draw near to God in times of your loneliness. Look for friends with these qualities. Now, I'm going to give you some qualities here to look for in a friend. Someone you can laugh with. Somebody you can pray with. Someone who understands you. Someone with whom you can share secrets. And if you can do that, that's somebody you can trust. That's another one. You see, they're an extension of God in your life. And good friends will point you to the Lord. And they will remind you of his word and his promises. That's why they're good friends. And then lastly, this is a good one. Someone who sticks with you through good times and bad times. You're going to need a friend on whom you can depend. Fourthly, lastly, anchor your soul to passages of Scripture. Because when the winds of loneliness assail you, God's word will be your anchor. Whenever you feel lonely, call out to him and remind yourself of his truths and his promises that he will never leave or forsake you. That's what the Scripture says. He's with you always, even until the end of the earth. That's another portion of Scripture. He is with you to the ends of the earth. If you respond to loneliness in the right way, it can drive you to have a more intimate relationship with God. You'll become richer in your understanding of his ways. When you're lonely, cry out to him. He'll anchor you with his word and help you to find a godly friend. When you move to a new area or you're looking for friends, ask the Lord to help you. Lead me, Lord, to a good friend that would be good for me. Help me to find somebody like that I can always call and on and talk to and trust. Everybody needs a friend. They will strengthen you so you can endure the pain of isolation. And they'll help you to lift you out of despair. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Which direction does loneliness drive you? Does it drive you inward? Outward? To activities that would numb the pain? I would hope and trust that it would drive you upward, that you can seek your comfort from God. So I'm asking you today, do you have faithful, godly friends to help you through the dark times of loneliness? What portions of Scripture have you read that will help anchor you in this time of loneliness? If you don't have any, read through the Psalms. That's a good place to start. The Psalms is a wonderful place to read. A lot of the writers confessed there to the Lord how alone they had felt. And when they remembered him, their spirits were lifted. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I know that this message was appropriate. And I think it was timely. And I think everyone that was here needed to be here to hear it. They were here for a reason. And so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that if there's any here that hasn't found some really good godly friends, I pray, Lord, that you'll help them. Direct these wonderful good friends to them because they need them. We all need some friends. And we know that you stick closer than even a brother. We have a friend in you. But here on earth, help us to find some friends that we can talk to and be encouraged by. Thank you for this message today that it spoke to my heart. What a time. I pray give my wife a safe travel back to our home. Looking forward to seeing her. I thank you, Lord, for the friends that you gave me through her. I thank you for the friends that are all here this morning in this place. They're all my friends, and I want to thank you for them. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen.